Jackson, Mississippi is still facing a water crisis after the February winter storm. Over a month later, hundreds of Black and Brown residents in South and West Jackson are still without usable running water.
Residents are not only in need of bottled water, but personal hygiene items, personal protective equipment, and utility assistance. We'll include links in our show notes for anyone who'd like to donate. Let's start the show.
Hoodoo plants, mamas. Get your soul fed and your spirit red.
This here endless trend. I possess the power from way back when. Back when folk were stripped from all of their kin. So they had to find the magic within. Ancestors gather my urge. I conjure at my altar. Hoodoo plant, mama. I manifest growth and I release trauma.
Child, we just out here trying to water our plants and mind our business, you know? Everybody ain't from the deep south, man. Everybody can't have culture like us.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back for another week of Hoodoo Plant Mamas. We have a special guest today. She just finished singing our theme song that you just heard. Tasha, would you like to introduce yourself? Tell the people who you are, your pronouns, what you do for a living, all of that good stuff.
What do you do? I'm Tasha. My pronouns are she, her. I am an occupational therapist. I work with kids. And outside of work, I really am just kind of on this journey of self-discovery right now. And so I be on Instagram, Twitter, just out here, you know, doing my thing, learning more about myself, things like that.
You know what came to mind when you said that?
What?
Through this journey of discovery.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for being here, Tasha.
Yes, thank y'all for inviting me.
All right, let's get into a check-in. How are you today, Leah?
I am good. Actually, after our last episode, I went on Twitter. We were talking about natural hair, and apparently there's this natural hairstylist who is trying to break the natural hair community by telling people not to use oils and butters and stuff. So I went in a deep dive, and now I'm doing a 30-day detox, and I am trying to, like, experiment with this whole wash hour thing and how to make natural hair easier and stuff. It's going good. It's going good. So, yeah. How are y'all doing?
Let's start. I should have started with our guests, but Tasha, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I've had so many long weeks and I've been very exhausted, and so this weekend was just a weekend of rest for me, so I'm feeling great.
Cool. Well, as far as me, I'm doing okay. I had my wash day too, and I'm working on minimal products too. I mean, I'm bald headed, but I don't know if I could give up oils yet. Like, I seen that conversation, and a lot of people were making good points about everybody's hair is different. I don't think there's a one size fits all, but I do understand the thing about oils. Like, I definitely think there's better ways, but right now that's kind of all I have as far as, like, soothing my scalp. I can't afford to go to a professional, so people just doing what they can to take care of their hair. But I definitely am going to try some of what you told me about as far as detoxing my hair eventually.
Professionals are expensive. I was looking up people who are trained to do, like, natural hair, and for, like, a new client visit, it's like over $200. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, I'm good, love. Well, let's get into some gratitude. What are you thankful for today, Tasha?
So I'm thankful for my dogs. I'm very thankful for them. They keep me super grounded. On the days where I'm, you know, needing to peel myself out of bed, they're there to make sure that, you know, I get out of bed, I take them out and walk. So I'm grateful for them. They give me a lot of comfort.
Cool. What about you, Leah?
I know today we're talking about Black women, so I wanted to say that I'm grateful for a few Black women and non-binary people. I'm going to name them. Erica Hart, who constantly does these reparation posts for Black women and Black femmes. I very, very much appreciate it because it has given me like gas money and grocery money and all of these things. I'm appreciative for the People's Oracle, who constantly reminds us the need to decolonize like our spirituality and astrology. And yeah, and I'm also grateful for the NAP ministry, who reminds us that rest is resistance and how important it is to rest and how that is a gift that we can not only give to ourselves, but give to our ancestors. So I'm grateful for all those Black women and Black non-binary people.
I echo that. I'll also say that I'm thankful for my visit with my grandma yesterday. That was cute. We got food and hung out. We didn't, you know how like with family, you're cool and then they'll say something and it's like, can we not talk about this? She asked me, she was like, so what's next after this program you're in? Like, have you decided? So you're not thinking about getting a job? I was like, listen, we having a good day. Let's not talk about that. Cause I feel bad enough about my future. So, but other than that, it was a good time and it just felt good to be around someone without a mask. Like, it just felt good to have that little bit of normal and social time and stuff. So yeah, that's how I'm feeling. So I guess we could get into the show.
Yeah, we could get into the show.
All right. So today we are, in honor of Women's History Month, we are going to talk about women and femmes who inspire us. Some of them are related to us. Some of them are friends, chosen family, that kind of thing. And, or even, artists, writers, singers who inspire us, who are women or femmes. All right. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is, who are the women in your immediate family or chosen family that inspire you and why? What lessons have they taught you? And we can start with our guest, Tasha Mack.
Okay. So my immediate family, I'm probably likely going to speak to more of my chosen family for this question. And so first and foremost, don't start blushing, Danny B, but I'm gonna start with you. my intellectual conspiracy theorist queen, ma'am. Yes. You, are somebody that inspires me. You are, as cliche as it has become, you are unapologetically you. You be out here reading everybody and their mamas, but not only do you do that, you're so considerate and you have just been a great friend and you've always been there during my low times and during your own low times, you've been there for yourself. And so that in itself is very inspiring. And then I also want to shout out another chosen family member of mine, JoJo. And something that she has really taught me, and we've known each other for going on 5 years now, she's really taught me what a healthy platonic relationship looks like. She's taught me what healthy boundaries look like. She's taught me what healthy communication looks like. And so, yeah, I just wanted to shout out JoJo and Danny B for that
one. Okay, jokester. All right, JoJo. All right, what about you, Leah?
It's not super immediate, but I did want to say that I am inspired by my auntie. She's my father's older sister. And I remember growing up, and we talked about this a little bit on our Patreon, just how traumatic it is to be a Black girl who's developing, whose body is changing, and you get all of these responses and all these accusations with your body. And I remember being younger and my auntie was the only one who was kind of just like saw me, and she didn't have any judgment about it. She was like, oh, your voice has gotten deeper. And I was like, what? Because usually other people, they would be like, oh, this thing has changed about you, so that must mean X, Y, and Z. But she was just like, no, this thing has changed. And I was like, okay. But it was, it just invalidated me in a way that, like, no, I didn't get from anywhere else. And also something that I've learned from her is kind of this pushback against the status quo. Like, I remember my cousin was fighting with my uncle, and my auntie was like, you know, I believe that you should respect your elders until they disrespect you. And so that wasn't something I heard before. I just heard, like, you know, children don't have any say so. It's adults always. So, like, for her to fight for a child, it's, yeah, there were just, like, a lot of things that she did that I found super inspiring. So,
well, as far as me, I'm glad you brought up Aunties. I would say the women in my immediate family who have impacted me or inspired me are my maternal and paternal grandmothers, all of my great aunts on my maternal side, because those are the ones that I know more intimately growing up. And they are all so different, particularly on my maternal side. Like, my grandma is the baby girl of her sisters, but they're all so different. And they were also, like, very strong, very, very much matriarchs that kind of coexisted with each other. Obviously, there's a hierarchy with the older sister, but they were so independent. Even one of my aunts who was married, like, I don't know, they just showed me how to be strong. I also, you know, never seen them take anything from anybody, particularly men. So they did teach me, help me to unlearn what, you know, how you should be treated. They were also super wise, just like their storytelling, their ability to, like, make stories about the past come alive, or there was, like, them growing up, or talking about somebody in the community that grew up with them. They were just lively. And I'll say they taught me how to be a storyteller, how to be a writer, because a lot of the things that I witnessed them talking about growing up, it comes alive in my stories, in the things that I wrestle with and that I'm thinking about as a writer and artist. So sorry to be so long-winded. I actually didn't prepare, but when you brought up Aunties, I was like, oh yeah, of course. I was just going to mention my grandmothers, but yeah.
I think I want to add on to that. I think also something that I learned from both my mama and my grandma, her mother, is the importance of being, like, honest and authentic. Both my mother and my grandmother were teen moms. And so all growing up, there were three girls. So all growing up, they were constantly telling us, like, how terrible it was to be a teen mom because you don't have support, you don't have this, blah, 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 blah. And I think in school, what I would hear from mostly my white teachers were like, oh, you know, getting pregnant young is an idea, but it's a blessing from God. It's blah, blah, blah. It's this, it's that, it's this and that. But it was, for me, listening to them be honest and being like, you know, I struggle with this thing, or this thing was hard, that resonated more for me. And I think that in a lot of ways that helped me to better navigate girlhood, just from them being honest and not sugarcoating anything.
I love that. So the next thing I want to transition into are women femmes, non-binary folks who may not be femmes, who you've connected with, who are not your immediate family, because I already got my list ready. Like, but if y'all want to go or y'all need some time to think, I can just go.
Yeah, you can go. Because you got a list.
Yeah, because you're ready. Go ahead.
So I want to say all of my friends that I met in college, despite all the drama, like, girl, not you, not, I feel like emotion. So let me reel it back in. I feel the emotion growing, like when you about to cry, but like the, we not girl, doing that today, okay? But community, like when I went to college, you know, it was divine. Like my community was a community full of queer women, queer femmes, non-binary folks who we were all finding ourselves. We actually all went through a lot of transitions, whether it was gender, with being true to our sexuality, trying to figure that out. We all experienced it together. We had drama, because you know how that is, especially with a bunch of mostly lesbians. But it was just life-changing. Like, I don't know where I would be if I hadn't met Tasha, Maya, Kales, Erica. Who else was up in there? I mean, even some people I don't talk to no more. I mean, Bria, Kayla, who? Girl, it was a bunch of people. Velvet. Velvet straight, though. She, anyway, we ain't going.
she's a woman.
Nah, she counts. I love you, girl. Who else? It was so many different people. Jaleesa. You know what I mean? But I'm specifically talking about people who either they were already troubling this thing that we grew up with, especially with most of us being from the South and being like, nah, I'm queer, I'm bi, I'm this, or, you know, and I was in this weird space where I was still trying to figure out who I was, still suppressing parts of myself. And then I met them and they taught me so many things. They taught me how to love better. They taught me that I deserve to be loved. Like really forced it. They taught me how to, they taught me intimacy, because I used to just be so weird with that. So yeah. And then there's this other person. I'm sorry to be talking so long, but I'll never forget her. Her name was Miss Wardlow. I met her in church when I was in Chicago at my grandma's old church. This elder, she was an elder when I was like a kid. So as you can imagine, she passed away maybe about a decade ago, a little bit over a decade, as while I was a teenager, and she was in her 90s. And she was just like the sweetest, wisest woman. Like, and she always poured into me. She always told me that I was special, I was beautiful, I was smart. We talking about, I was like, you know, 5 or 6. And this older woman was just saying, look at you. You're so beautiful, you know? And, you know, as a kid, you start internalizing things about not being beautiful at an early age. But I remember her, and even during the times as I was a teenager and I was going through that stuff with super low self-esteem, and I would get a letter from her just reminding me, you're so beautiful, you're so smart, keep your head on straight, always go after your dreams. And that's just somebody I'm never going to forget. We were not related. This was just a church mother. She was the mother of the church, actually, the oldest person in the church. And she just, we just had a connection. She was drawn to me. And for some reason, that relationship just happened. And I thought about her today, which is interesting. Before we decided to do this show, she didn't come to mind immediately, but I thought about her just now. So thank you for showing up. Okay. All right. So what about y'all? Go ahead. Don't all speak at once.
I guess I can go. I don't have a laundry list. I only prepared to talk about one person, but somebody else kind of popped in mind. But before I get into that, I second everything about all of the women that I met in college. Like, whew, it was chaos, but like, I would have never grown without that chaos. I would have never grown without having people to grow with me, you know, to go through what we went through together. So I second all of that. Somebody that just popped in my mind, my therapist. And it took me so long to get to the point of wanting to pursue therapy. I don't know if I was in denial or if I was just like, I ain't ready. I don't know. But about a year ago, I decided to seek out a therapist. I found a woman, a Black woman online. She was $150. And I was like, girl, I cannot afford that. But I want to say my intuition told me that that's who I needed to connect with. And so I reached out to her. And she was like, this is my price. But because you seem so driven and because you seem like you really want this, she worked with me. She gave me a price that I could work with. And that's when I knew like spirit or something is working, because we connected and it's been the best connection that I've ever had with any, you know, professional. She kind of stepped in, and I don't know if this is appropriate, but she kind of like filled this wound that I had related to like parenting or mothering. She kind of just came and validated a lot of my feelings, a lot of feelings that I've been feeling my whole life. She did a lot of mothering with me, and she did a lot of validating and just hearing me. I think for so long, I just wanted people to hear the pain that I was having. And she did that. And she did an amazing job. And not only did she do that, but she opened so many doors for me that I didn't even know could be opened. And so I'm very appreciative of my therapist, because she made me feel safe with therapy. I never really felt like I could be safe with therapy. The next person, and this person is pretty new to my life. Her name is Ra Kalan. She considers herself to be a self-love activist or self-love coach. I met her not even a year ago. I think it was last June. And we met super casually, like hung out on some friend stuff. And as soon as we started talking, I knew like, whoa, like this woman has some energy. I don't know what it is. I don't know where she got it from, but I want it, you know, and we connected immediately. And since we first met, she's helped facilitate a lot of just wanting to love myself, wanting to work through my fragments, work through those shadows of myself that I avoided for so long. And just wanting to love myself. I could speak about her all day. She's super amazing. And she really encourages me to just sit with myself and to be present with myself and stop seeking out outsiders to fulfill the needs and wants that I want, but to work on giving myself that. So shout out to Ra Kalan, because I love me some Ra. Like, she's dope. And I've grown so much just after meeting her maybe like 6, 7, 8 months ago.
What about you, Leah?
I made a list while y'all were talking, so I'm going to echo what Tasha said. I also have a Black female therapist, and I know a few episodes ago, she was someone that I'm grateful for, and I'm continually grateful for, because just having this older Black woman who constantly, like, tells me that she's proud of me and uplifts me in all of these different ways. And I remember one time I went to the altar and I was crying about like not feeling good enough, not feeling like I had enough of what I needed to be where I wanted to be. And then it was a few days later, she was speaking to everything that I was crying at the altar. And I was like, and I didn't even tell her what I was going through. But the fact that she's like, you are this and you are that, and here are receipts to show you that you are all of these things. I'm like, thank you. So yeah, I'm always, always grateful that I have her in my life. And she was the one who told me that, you know, maybe I should write a book about my life. And so as I was writing that book, something that was coming up a lot were all of these Black girls that I grew up with and the ways that we learned from each other. And it was like, even writing about our time together, I don't want to say it felt magical, but it was just, there were a lot of stories that I realized I wanted to tell and that I didn't, because in our society, we don't really uplift Black girl friendships the way that we should. And I've been very grateful because a lot of those people from my childhood have kind of circled back within the last year and have checked in on me. So that has been nice. And another group of women that have inspired me are, I was on the kitchen committee when I was a teenager. So it was me and my sister. We were the only two teenagers. And it was a bunch of older Black women who are kind of like surrogate grandmas. And they were friends with my grandma too. And just learning, like, they taught me how to make mac and cheese, but I can't make it like they make it. And chicken and dumplings. And then they taught me just kind of the importance of protecting yourself and living your best life and doing the things that you want to do in your life. So a lot of guidance and a lot of direction when I wasn't really getting it from anywhere else. So yeah, those are all the women that have inspired me.
You talking about the kitchen committee in church?
Yeah.
Oh, that's elite. Okay, because I was put out. Like, if I scrolled up in there trying to, like, go ahead now. Wow. Okay. Also, I want to put this out here. Leah makes a mean pound cake. Okay. So clearly, you had some elders teaching you how to cook, because I could never. Like, seriously, I was eating that like, this pound cake ancestral. But
that's my grandma's recipe.
Listen, I want to also add, I be scared. I know I left somebody out. Please charge it to my head, not my heart, as the elders say. I also want to add, I'm super thankful, like the women, particularly the three Black women who I'm super close here that I met while I've been in this town, Ida, Nadia, and Sadia. Thank God for them, okay? Because when you're in a majority white town, honestly, it's a miracle to find people that you feel like sisters and for y'all to just have that bond. So I also want to add that. And sorry to anybody else who may feel left out by my list from college. It was a lot of us in that group and y'all know it, okay? But I love y'all. All right.
I also want to add, you added too. I want to add, I also live in a majority white town, and my friends Bree, Petra, and Myra, I've been very grateful to have found them. Yeah. Although Bree's leaving me, but it's good for her. It's good for her, but still.
No, I feel that. Well, the final thing I want to talk about is ancestors, related or not, who have impacted you and who continue to inspire you. And let's start with our guest, Tasha Mack, with the fat back.
Hey. Okay, so this is very timely. I'll start by saying my grandmother transitioned in September of last year, after a short battle with COVID. So rest in peace to my grandma, Mudda. I love you so much. So this one is interesting. I would say that I've started this journey, this spiritual journey of mine here in like the last year, hardcore. And I think that my introduction to spirit and the universe, it was right on fucking time. Sorry if y'all don't be cussing because I be cussing. But it was right on time. I really started tapping into spirit and in the universe like June, July of last year, not knowing that I would kind of be forced to connect with an ancestor that was close to me, you know? And so when I lost my grandma in September, I'm not gonna cry. it became very intentional for me to sit at my altar, to talk to her, to get in my kitchen to cook, because my grandma, she was the cook of the family. That was her love language, cooking for others. And I'm starting to see that is now my, like, that's the way we connect. Me and my grandma connect through my cooking, through my, you know, providing others with fulfilling meals or whatever. So yeah, I've recently been connecting with my grandma very, very deeply. She has taught me so many things, more so recently, one being impermanence, the impermanence of our physical bodies. We get so attached to this physical, you know, this physical realm. And it's like, there's so much more than these physical bodies. And it's okay, you know, to let go when you're ready. My grandma was ready to go. And we fought it so hard, but it was like, she knows when she's ready to transition to, you know, to the spiritual realm. And that's okay. Our bodies are very impermanent, but spirit lasts forever. So I think that was the biggest thing that she taught me. But in addition to that, she also taught me just to love unconditionally. I think a lot of us, a lot of our grandparents, you know, in the Black family, there's a lot of shit that be going on. A lot of sketchy shit, a lot of stuff that's like, I don't know about that. But my grandma, no matter what, loved hard. She loved hard. She invited anyone into her home. She fed anyone that was in need. My grandma really just taught me to love unconditionally. She taught me a lot, but I think those two things, like impermanence of our physical bodies and just loving unconditionally. And I'm so grateful for her. And I'm grateful for our continued relationship, because a year or two ago, I would have never thought that, like, I would still have a connection or a relationship with my grandma after, you know, after she transitioned. But now it's like our connection is stronger than it's ever been. And I'm just so appreciative of that. So, yeah, I'm just going to speak to my grandma. I don't really want to speak to anybody else. I'm going to give her the star of the show for me
today. Amen.
I'm going to say I don't know any particular women ancestors that speak to me. I have an idea. My grandma passed in 2008, so almost 13 years ago. And there are some things that come into my head that I'm like, there's no way that I know these things. And I've never asked a family member, mainly because I'm scared, whether or not they are true. But they could be. So there are some family secrets that they tell me that I'm like, I don't know if I need to be knowing this. But not only that, something that I feel a lot is kind of this need to slow down and this need to relax. I know on our Patreon, you've done a lot of readings and posts about slowing down and taking care of yourself. But even in my own practice, something that I'm being reminded is that I don't need to overdo anything. I don't need to give 110% of myself to a system that wants me dead. I don't need to do all of that. Like, I was just at my altar and I wasn't feeling it. And something just came to me and was like, you don't have to come here every day. You don't have to do all this. You're doing enough. Even when I think back over my life and all of my life decisions that have gotten me to where I'm at right now, what I feel the most is kind of like the women before me who wanted rest, who wanted ease, who wanted protection, who wanted to be taken care of. And I feel like I have all of those things now. And I think, at least for this part of my life, what message I'm getting is to enjoy, to not feel guilty, to not like overdo it, just enjoy life.
Amen. I just realized I didn't clarify earlier. One of my three aunts that I mentioned has transitioned, and then Ms. Wordlow also. I think I mentioned that she had transitioned. I could have saved her for this part, but today, the day of us recording the line, March 14th, this is the anniversary of Fannie Lou Hamer's transition. You know, growing up in Mississippi, I don't know about you, Leah. I know we live in the same region of Mississippi. We're not from the Delta. Well, we're from the same region of Mississippi. We're not from the Delta.
Yeah.
I didn't really learn about Fannie Lou Hamer until I was like grown, until I was at least 18.
Same.
And then I didn't really get into the nitty gritty of her story until like really the past 2 years, and really especially through the pandemic, where I was reading her speeches. I was listening to her. I think it's called Songs from Our Mothers, her album of her singing spirituals. And we'll put a link in the bio. I'll send you the link, Leah. But her singing spirituals, her telling stories from her upbringing about picking cotton and living on a plantation and that kind of thing. And to be honest, and I wrote about this in an essay I got published a few months ago. Well, last month, I think that was. But her singing just really carried me through the pandemic. Like at my lowest moments, I would just play it. I would play it while I was sitting at my altar. Sometimes I would just sit there and play it and cry. Like, because she reminded me of that singing. It reminded me of that singing that I grew up listening to in church, that testifying that older women would do in church. Like, they tell you a story and they sing you a song that just kind of vibrates through your body, like this healing, like this feeling of just like being, I don't know, you, the filling you up with the spirit, what they call it. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for Fannie Lou Hamer's speeches, for the stories that she tells and her singing, for really the way her spirit lives through those songs that she left on that album. I think it wasn't a coincidence that this album was recorded. Like, she lives through those songs, her stories, the stories of her family, of her mother, who she talks about. The song that really tore me up and that I listened to over and over again, Precious Lord, where she talks about being in that jail and being beat and then coming out only to find out that Megger Evers has been killed, like living through constant tragedy and oppression and still getting up and like trusting that spirit is gonna like lead her through. I mean, yeah. And she suffered with mental health issues. Like, we lift up Fannie Lou Hamer as like this, almost like deifying her, but the human part of her suffered with depression and hypertension and exhausted. And she's literally I think, if I'm not mistaken, had a nervous breakdown like towards the end of her life. Her fight for Black people, especially in Mississippi, but all over this world, it wore her body down. And now in the ancestral realm, she gets to rest. So I just want to lift her up as an ancestor that is not related to me, but has deeply touched me and impacted me, and whose energy I lean on even when I'm writing, when I'm trying to write about certain things and that kind of thing. So yeah, that's my person.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break and then we'll get back to the show. All right, y'all, so let's get into some ways to support us. You can follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at Hoodoo Plants and Instagram at Hoodoo Plant Mamas. You can also share new episodes with your friends. If you're into monthly donations, you can join our Patreon, where we share exclusive content like mini-sodes, tarot readings, and spiritual lessons. If you prefer a one-time donation, you can give any amount you want on Cash App at Hoodoo Plant Mamas or PayPal. HoodooPlantMamas@gmail.com.
If you are interested in sponsoring an episode, you can email us at HoodooPlantMamas@gmail.com. We especially want to work with Black, Indigenous, POC-owned, and queer-owned businesses. But if you're a white business wanting to support the work of two Black women, we'll take that too. Let's get back to the show. So, Tabitha Zahoodoo, if y'all don't know, Tabitha Brown, she's an actress, and I first came across her, she had vegan recipes or vegan videos on TikTok, and she has this very soothing voice. I think she's originally from the South, I'm not sure where in the South, but yeah, so Danny was actually the one who brought this to my attention. She sent me a video of Tabitha talking about her mother, and talking about how her mother is working in another realm on her behalf. And a lot of what she's saying sounds a lot like ancestral reverence. So we wanted to talk a little bit about how Black spirituality I don't know if we, I want to say kind of mixes into Christianity and stuff, because even Tabitha, she has like crosses and stuff. She talks about God, but she also says she's spiritual, but not religious. So I think we really wanted to expand on this idea of spiritual and not religious. Do y'all have any thoughts?
I mean, I don't like, I like the idea of thinking of her as a hoodoo. I would argue a lot of people are hoodoos and they don't know it. But I was very interested in her talking about, apparently people, she did a video, but people were uncomfortable because she always thanks God and she talks a lot about God and that kind of thing. And she was just like, this is who I am and I'm not going to change anything. God has brought me too far for me to be acting ashamed. And I love that. And she also said in a comment, because I be creeping when people said something, somebody said something and she was like, I'm not religious, I'm more spiritual. I also don't think she attends church regularly. So that's why I was curious about this. But I was also like, I don't know, I appreciate this representation of like not only a Black spirituality, like a Black person that is spiritual, but not in like a religious way where they're trying to force people to believe what they believe, or they're obnoxious and hateful and that kind of thing, but also someone that is open about the way they revere their ancestor, which is her mother. So I'll get into some other stuff I was thinking about with that, but what are your thoughts, Sasha? I see you nodding.
No, I mean, and I think y'all might have talked about this before. I don't really remember, but you don't have to be religious. You don't have to subscribe to religion to have a relationship with God or spirit or whatever your higher power is. And I think that's important. Like you said, that's important to be represented. Like, people need to see that it's okay to connect with spirit, to connect with God, connect however you want to connect with nature, without subscribing to the ins and outs of being a super religious person. Like, I think that's okay. And I don't know why people feel the need to jump down somebody else's Instagram trying to tell them how to live their life. Like, clearly she has a good connection with God and to her ancestors. Why can't she keep doing
that? Yeah, I feel that. But I also didn't see none of that stuff we usually see about it being demonic. That's what I've been so interested with, because I think people think of ancestral veneration as just altars. And some people are creeped out by that, which is weird, because cemeteries, those are altars. You literally leave flowers on there for your ancestor. What do you think that is? But the idea of building a space to engage with your ancestors, to engage with spirits, is seen differently as you sitting at someone's tombstone and talking to them and leaving flowers and leaving pictures. Like, somehow people see that as different. And that's what I think. That's why I think people don't find it strange when Tabitha says, for instance, I don't know if y'all seen this, but someone sent her this beautiful gift. I don't know if it was earrings. It was something with her mother's picture in it. This person makes something where they put pictures in it. The lady had the same name as her mother. It was something else that was super like, okay, coincidences happen, but nah. And she was like, she was crying. She said, I know that this was my mother reminding me. This was her. That was her. This is not no coincidence. This lady has the same name as my mother. She also saw that the lady went by the same nickname as her mother. Like, and she's had multiple moments like that she's documented of like, my mother is working. My mother sees me. My mother is saying, you're doing well. And I'm sure there are some people that might be creeped out by it, but like, not to the extent of it's not an altar, but that is ancestor reverence. That is veneration. To even acknowledge the spirit of your mother moving. And I was thinking about this idea of like thinking about ancestral veneration beyond the altar, because a spiritualist on Twitter named Ia Ahime said the other day, the altar is a great tool, but don't underestimate the living body that holds the essence of your entire lineage, known and unknown. I thought that was so profound, and it brought me back to this thing with with Tabitha, particularly her relationship with her mother. Like, I think that that's ancestor reverence. I think she has said she talks to her too, like she'll talk out loud. I don't know, I might be making that up, but I feel like she'd be talking to her mama. What are y'all thoughts, particularly on that quote from Iya Ahime?
Yeah, I agree with them, Iya Ahime, because the altar is just a tool. And I think something that people forget is that, like, the Bible is also just a tool. All of these things are just tools that kind of help us connect to the divine. And I don't think any of these tools should be worshipped. They're just something to help you. Like tarot cards, they're just tools. So I think something that we forget is that our bodies hold, like, the memories, hold the gifts, hold the legacies of our ancestors. And so it's really easy for, well, I wouldn't say easy. It takes practice to tap into that power. So I think even with someone like Tabitha, it's easy for her to maybe develop this relationship with her mother who's passed, because she already holds, like, all of the essence of her mother within her. She is the proof of her mother. And I think even in my own family, my grandma talks all the time about her mother, who I'm named after, who passed well before I was born. And so my grandma's like, oh, you know, sometimes I talk to her, sometimes I see her, all of these things. But I don't think my grandma would call herself a hoodoo. But it's like this spirit still lives within us, whether we acknowledge it or not. I know, Danny, you talked about interviewing a pastor and them reading you. Because that pastor has this spirit in them. They may not call it, you know, hoodoo or whatever. They may not call it spiritual. They may call it more religious or whatever. But they have that spirit and they are able to tap into it. So I think when we recognize, like, I think even the core behind a lot of religion is spirituality. Religion is just rituals and rules and stuff, but you don't really need that to tap into the divine. I feel like I'm getting into deism. But yeah.
Listen, speak on it, okay? Because I love the way you put that. You don't need religion to tap into spirit, to tap into your understanding of God. Like, that's so true. But again, you can do that through religion.
Yeah.
You can do that. For some people need ritual, and I get that. Like, for some people, ritual is the way that they are able to engage. So what are your thoughts, Sasha?
So regarding ritual, sometimes, and I'll speak for myself, I think this is the case for a lot of people that consider themselves religious, but I won't speak for them. I'll speak for me. Back when I used to consider myself to be religious, it was always this very passive engagement in rituals and rules. It was never very intentional. Like Leah mentioned, whether you acknowledging this or you're not, you know, it's still this idea of working with spirit. But back then, when I was not acknowledging that, it was just me going through the motions of what I was taught and how I was raised in the church. But now that I consider myself to be more spiritual, not religious, I'm being very intentional with the things that I'm doing. I'm able to recognize what it means when we go to graves, what it means when we put flowers down. Like back then, I was just doing it because that's what we did. But now it's like, no, I'm intentionally doing these things so that I can continue to build this relationship with spirit and with my ancestors. And I think that a lot of people have a hard time recognizing that the things that you're doing are more than just rituals. They're more than just things you do. These are things that you're doing to honor your ancestors. And sometimes people just don't really know that. Sometimes it feels more so just like a routine of, I do this because I miss my grandma, so I'm gonna put some flowers there. Versus, I do this because I'm giving to my grandma. I'm feeding her spirit. I'm feeding our connection. And I think sometimes that's where the disconnect is too.
Preach, okay? Nah, because you preaching. That is so true. My final thought is, I feel like Tabitha's testimonies about feeling her mother near her and all these signs, it sort of normalizes how we view, like, it normalizes a less traditional view of death, in that death is not the end, and that it's a beautiful thing. Like, it doesn't necessarily lessen the devastation of losing a loved one, but it, over time, in that loss, you gain something deeper, I think. So even for me, like, honestly, I think that this spiritual journey that I found myself on, I think this is God preparing me, because it's like, the older you get, the longer you live, the more loss you experience. And right now, when I think about it, I can't imagine losing certain people in my family, but like, girl, that might happen one day, you know? And you never know when it's going to happen. And I think that understanding the nuances of death, I think it does prepare you. It doesn't make it better. It doesn't, like, grief is grief, and it's not linear. But I think that it just helps you gain a different perspective, and it prepares you to make that connection with your loved one beyond this earthly realm. And I think that's important. So those are my final thoughts. Shout out to Tabitha. Thank you for being such a light. She ain't gonna never hear this probably, but she's such a fucking light. Like, I remember it used to make me worry. Like, I used to get a little bit worried. I was like, oh Lord, she's super like into God. And I love that, but then you never know if it's gonna like escalate to like hardcore religious, kind of like intolerant, that kind of thing. But no, she really is a light. She's so spiritually grounded, and she's not ashamed of what anybody thinks about that. But she also doesn't try to force it on other people. That is just who she is. And I love that, because even me, sometimes I be scared to talk about God, because I was like, I don't want nobody to be thinking I'm like hateful, like, which is messed up. Like, that's not to lump all Christians in a category, but you have to understand that when you grow up in a particular tradition, you're biased because you have trauma from that. And so you're like, I don't want nobody to think that I'm that person. I never want anybody to feel like I feel a way about them because they have trauma from that. So I just love her energy, at least the energy I get through IG.
I second all that. I'm sorry. I kind of wanted to piggyback on your idea of, and I mentioned it earlier about our physical bodies are, you know, very impermanent. And if we could shift the way that we view death, we would be able to, things would look so differently for us. If people could just acknowledge that we can continue to be connected with our family members, our friends, we can continue to be connected with those peoples if we just shift the way that we view death. It's not the end. But yeah, that's all I just wanted to piggyback off of.
Yeah, and I just wanted to talk about grief, because I think a lot of people grieve differently, and I don't think people understand how important grief is, because it's a process of moving forward. And it is acknowledging a loss, but like you both said, death is not the end. Death is not the end. And I think not only for people who have lost, but when it's time for us to leave, it will make death, I think, less scary, because so many of us are afraid of it, because we're like, when we die, that's the end of everything. But it's like, no, we can still be in contact with the people who've gone before us, and even the people who are still here. Maybe we can do more work to help our like family and stuff, you know?
I've been doing work to help my mom. Listen, it's terrible to watch my mom losing her mother. I think she feels like it's the end, and it's so hard to see her feeling that way. So I'd be over here, listen, putting my little juju up in these candles I be making, giving them to my mama, and, you know, telling my grandma, like, listen, I'm gonna give this candle to mom. Every time she lights it, I need you there with her. Because right now my mom is seeing it as like that was the end of our relationship. And so, yeah, I think that we also kind of play a role in helping other people to connect, even when they don't realize that it's not the end.
I feel that way because my grandma's birthday, she's also an Aquarius, So her birthday, yeah, her birthday was last month, and everyone was like, I miss my grandma or I miss my mom or whatever. But I'm just like, I don't feel that missing because she's always here. Like, it's not anything that I've lost. I can't like hear her voice, like physically, I can't see her, but she's always here. Like, I don't feel that same kind of loss that other people feel.
I love that. Y'all got me all up in the feels, but that is so true. And also, I'm just like, yes, impermanence. Okay. Yes, big words. But I love, I also want to add, this show gonna be kind of long, but like, I love the idea of like, we talk a lot about like healing our lineage, but just with our engagement with the ancestors, but you're supposed to be healing living folks. Like, you're supposed to be helping to break cycles in your family. So yeah, I love that you mentioned that. Man, we might have to have a whole nother show talking about this, girl, because you up in here preaching, you and Leah. But if there are no final thoughts, I guess we can call it a day.
If you like this episode, you can like, rate, and review Hoodoo Plant Mamas on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or whatever streaming platform you use. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, we'll make sure to share it on the show.
If anything from the show resonated with you, make sure to share it with us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Hoodoo Plants and Instagram at Hoodoo Plant Mamas. Stay tuned for our next episode. Bye.
Bye.